I go but to the Lord. Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. We can go right across the page to 471. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear thee. Burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He always loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world of evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen, amen.
Good.
Yeah. Number one. Number one. Squeaky voice time. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
I just imagine this song. I don't think we do it justice ever. I think once we're in heaven and everybody's singing this, it's going to be wow. Wow. But yeah, we try hard, but that's when it's going to be good. Yeah. All right.
How about number five?
Do we know number five? Is it five or four? Let's not get it mixed up. Because one is probably one we know, and the other one's... Number four? Okay. All righty.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord.
Brother Ramel, would you come forward? Amen. Two seven five. Flipped over there. That sounded like a good song. Amen.
marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again. Coming. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day will be. Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past. Crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Amen. Brother Ramel.
Good to see you tonight. Glad you're here. Glad you braved the elements. Did you see in the paper today? Back east, I think they're still having snow and ice and cold weather. My grandson left here last Monday morning, I think it was, for Ohio. And he got to Ohio and called back out here and said that the temperature in Ohio was 11 degrees below zero. I've never been in country like that. How cold did it get in Colorado? You lived up there. You remember those below zero days? Yeah. Yeah. My man. Anyway. It gets more expensive to live here, but the weather's worth something. They don't charge us for the weather yet, do they? Yeah. There you go. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to talk about some lost things tonight. But I was thinking as we were singing there, I would like to have your prayers for me this coming week. There's another bump in the road coming up Wednesday. And I'll tell you, Thanksgiving was a bad time. Christmas was a bad time. And coming up on February the 25th is Rita's birthday. And that's going to be, a bump in the road. There are times like that. So appreciate your prayers. I kind of get sentimental sometimes. In Luke 15, we always think of this chapter as the prodigal son chapter. It's been a while since I've preached about the prodigal son, and so we're going to refresh our souls tonight with some of its teachings. But first, I want to remind you that no one but Jesus can save us. He has no competition in the world. There are no other religions in the world that compare with Christianity. They have no Savior. They have no Redeemer. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus, how precious it is. So no one but Jesus can save us. And secondly, no one and nothing can keep us from being saved. Think about that. There's no power on earth, heaven or hell, that can keep us from being saved. Now, bear this in mind. The decision rests upon us and us alone. We usually look at this story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 as an evangelical message for those that are lost. But it's for every one of us. I was thinking about this, the prodigal son. Son means he's a member of a family. Son means that he had a daddy and he had a mother. And in this instance, he had a brother. He was a member of the family. And he's the one who left the family and went off to a far country until he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he came back home. He came back. He returned. He had been there before. He left. He came back. He rejoined the family. So that sounds like it's a Christian who has kind of lost his way, turned his back upon God, went out into the world, wasted his substance in worldly living, and came back home to a father who forgave him, who cleaned him up, put some new rags on him, and brought him back into the family. My son, which was dead, has come alive again. I like that in this story. But first of all, in verses 3-7, we have a parable of the lost sheep. We're going to try to learn some things tonight. That poor sheep, he's the victim in this case. He wasn't doing anybody any harm. He wasn't shooting dope. He wasn't drinking whiskey. He's just being a sheep. Think about it. He's off out here. He's a member of a flock. But he got to grazing on that green grass, nibbling a patch here. He sees another one over here that looks a little greener, so he goes over there to that. And the first thing you know, when the evening shadows began to gather, he looked up and he found himself a long way off, and he was out of sight from the rest of the flock. For all practical purposes, he was lost, because they tell me that a sheep doesn't have sense of direction. I don't know about that. I've never been around them very much. But I'm sure that as he was grazing from one spot to another, he did not knowingly and intentionally get lost. He didn't say, I'm going to lose myself. He just came to himself and he said, hey, I'm lost. I might have told you the other day, I'm going to stay away from that town up north of us called L.A. I don't have one of those things in my car to where I can tell it where I am and it'll tell me where I'm going or should be or anything like that. I'm up there and the sun's going down and it's getting dark and traffic is heavy. It's always heavy up there. And I'm driving on a street that I'd never heard of before, didn't recognize the name of it. And I didn't know whether I was going north, south, east, west, up or down. I had a premonition in my heart, but that doesn't mean anything up there, that I was headed for downtown Los Angeles, which was in the opposite direction that I wanted to go. And I was lost in L.A. I finally ran across Beach Boulevard. Oh, I know Beach Boulevard. So I knew just the name of it. I didn't know whether it ran up or down or crossways or which way it went. But I was a familiar name. I knew I was on Beach Boulevard. I didn't know whether I was headed this way or that way on it. I was just driving. And directly I looked up in front of me, and there's the Pacific Ocean. You know where Beach Boulevard runs in the old Pacific Highway up there? And it had one sign that said north, one said south. And I said, oh boy, I want to take the south one because south is Mexico, and if I get to Mexico, I can find Chula Vista. And so I drove on Old Pacific Highway, first time I'd been on that in over 50 years. They've got stoplights every block on that thing now. And 2 hours later, I got down to San Clemente. I was lost, and I wasn't lost intentionally. I just made a wrong turn, and I got mixed up in my directions. That's the way this little sheep was. The only thing is, he wasn't lost because he knew where he was all the time. Now, his shepherd found out he was lost. And his shepherd was compassionate and caring. So he left the 99 in the safety and shelter of the fold and went out looking for the one lost sheep. Now we know what all this is, don't we? That's God looking for us when we were lost. Jesus searching for us. And he searched and he searched until he found him. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't say, well, I'm tired and sleepy. I'm going to catch a few Z's and then I'll start again in the morning. He kept looking for him until he found him. And then when he found him, he didn't get mad at him and fuss at him for being lost. He didn't scold him and drive him home. He gently picked him up, put him around his shoulders, and carried him all the way back to the fold, gave him a free ride. And then when he got home, he woke up all the other shepherds and the people around there, and he says to them, come, rejoice with me, for my sheep that was lost is now found. And the Bible says that there is joy and rejoicing in heaven whenever a sinner is found and comes back, brought back to the fold, rejoicing in heaven. Well, then you continue on here and verse 8, 9, and 10 tells us about a woman who had a coin that got lost. Now, a coin is not like a sheep. A sheep can wander off and get lost, as a prodigal son can leave home. A coin is wherever it's left. Some of you here are getting old enough to identify with this. You're doing something and you need something that's in another place. So you leave what you're doing and you go in here to get what you need, and you get there and you stand like a calf at a new gate and you've completely forgotten what you're in there after. That is the most frustrating thing about old age, because I make 100 unnecessary steps. I have to go back to where I came from and try to remember what I was doing and why I needed whatever it was that I've forgotten I went after. And I lose tools. I can't even work on things anymore. Forget it. If I lay it down, sometimes it's in plain sight and I can't see it. What do I want this for? That's the way this coin was. It was right where she'd left it. Nobody else, doesn't say anybody been in her house and stole it or anything like that. It was lost. She knew where it was. It's in the house. It didn't go anywhere by itself. So she's got to find it. Have you ever done this? She got a broom. She starts sweeping the house. Probably needed sweeping anyway. Gave her a good excuse to clean house. And she looked under this and she looked under that and everything. And she searched and searched until she found it. Perseverance. The shepherd persevered, didn't he? Now the woman persevered in her search. She searched until she found it. Sometimes when you lose something like this, you want to retrace your steps. Maybe I left it over here or over there. But she didn't do that. She knew it was in the house. Maybe that day she'd been to the beauty parlor, and I wonder if I left it there. Let's see, what did I do after I left the beauty? Oh, I went to the grocery store. Maybe I left it there. So she didn't go back and retrace her steps outside the house. She knew where it was, in familiar territory. Now, the thing about this coin is that while it was lost, it was out of circulation. We know what money is. It's a medium of exchange. I've got a few coins here in my pocket. They're not doing me any good. They're not doing anybody else any good because they're not being spent. They're not purchasing anything. They got purchasing power. Take this right here. I can buy anything that you can find for a quarter. Not much, but it's purchasing power. But if it's in my pocket, might as well be lost. It's out of circulation. That's the way this coin was. And money's no good unless it's being spent on something. Kind of like Christians, when they get out of circulation. They're not doing themselves any good. They're not doing God any good. If they're out of circulation, they're like a lost coin. Now, when a woman found the coin, she called her friends and her neighbors together, and she says to them, "Rejoice with me, for my coin which was lost is now found." Now we come to verses 11 through 24. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read this with you. We're going to talk about it. You can read it. Maybe you're already familiar with it. I'm sure you are. The parable of the prodigal son. This is probably the greatest short story in or out of the Bible. It's a story that touches the chords of the human heart. It's a story that reveals in pictorial form the love of God for the ruined human race, because we are indeed the prodigal son. It's a picture of the depths to which the soul can descend in its flight away from God. It reveals the hopes that exist for any individual, even though they have gone away into a far country. It reveals the deceitfulness of sin. It shows us the expensive toll of a godless life and it touches every area of our existence. This young man is a symbol of today's society. Society consists of individuals, and society as a whole will be what each and every individual makes it. There are some that say, well, we have to get people saved in groups. That comes from the evangelical days of Billy Graham and other people like that, when he would have his crusades and you would see masses of people come down to the front to receive Christ as their personal Savior. I often wondered, they get enough one, I've seen him preach in one service. He'd get enough people to start a big church. But in all my experience, I doubt I've seen under five people that were saved in a Billy Graham crusade. I'm not saying this about him. I wouldn't say anything derogatory about him. I'm saying that there should have been more follow-up following these people, because people are not saved in groups, they're saved as individuals. Each one, each person, having a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Not as a mass. Anyway, salvation is not going through a wide factory gate. Salvation is going through a turnstile where you go through one at a time. Now, this prodigal son's selfishness brought grief to his family. Nothing said about his mother, his father's mentioned. And his brother's mentioned. His brother got bitter over it. He didn't like what had happened. And it cast a shadow of pain and sorrow over this entire family. I can imagine the grief of this father every morning when he woke up and his son was not there. He's off having a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry. And of course, every Christian who is not walking with Christ and living for God is in a far country. He He's a prodigal. Anywhere is a far country for him. You don't have to cross any borders, visit any other nations to be in a far country. You can be in a far country and sit in a church pew, can't you? Some of us have been there. I've been there. You can sit in a church pew and tune the Holy Spirit out, tune me out, and guess what? You're in a foreign country. Far country. Sin is always antisocial. Have you ever noticed that? Men may run from God, but they can't escape. They can't get away from Him. Remember Jonah? He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He was God's man. He was a prophet. God spoke to him, and God spoke through him to the people. God told him to do something he didn't want to do. And he rebelled against God, said, I'm going to get away from him. But he didn't make it, did he? Even though he was swallowed by a huge fish that took him down to the bottom of the sea, God knew where he was all the time. And he could not get away from God. Neither can we. Oh, we can walk away from him. Do like Adam and Eve, we can hide in the bushes. But God knows where we are. You're really not hid, even though you're lost. You've not been abandoned, because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's around. He's the one who gives you health and strength, and His love and care has brought us here today that we might decide in our own heart and mind, I will arise and go to my Father. Wonderful words this man spoke. And the man that lives to do as he likes will become a slave to his likes. The man who will not be ruled by the Lord will have to serve Satan. The man who does what he pleases will come to the place where he is not pleased with what he does. Sin is to blame. Sin destroys love, life, laughter. Sin hangs crepe on the doorknob of happiness. Sin soils the wonderful blessings of God upon our life. God's moral order says that right is right and wrong is wrong. And you just can't do wrong and feel right about it. Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you're out of the will of God, you're eating oatmeal, as someone has said, that's made out of wild oats. Always bitter. Now, when you look at these three parables, in the parable of the lost sheep, It was the shepherd who went out and looked for the sheep until he found him. And in the parable of the lost coin, it was the woman who searched for her lost coin until she found it. Things change in the third one, don't they? No one went out looking for the prodigal son. Why? Maybe it was because God made him a free moral agent. He was not like an animal, like the sheep. He was not like the inanimate coin that the woman lost. He can think for himself. I think the Lord is holding him personally responsible for the choice that he made. And God has made each one of us a free moral agent. He's given us the power to think for ourselves, to make decisions for ourselves. And we're responsible for it. Did you notice there what this old boy, when he came to himself, said? I want you to notice the times that he referred to himself. Here's what he said. I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say, I have sinned. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I. He's making his own decisions as to what he is and what he's become. But the greatest decision that anyone can make is when he said, I will arise and go to my Father. Your friends can come to you and say, you ought to go to your father. Your father can invite you and say, come home, son. But the decision still rests upon him until he says, I will arise and go to my father. It's his responsibility, his decision. Now, the sheep was property, and nobody likes to lose property. The coin was money, and certainly we don't like to lose money. But when it comes to an eternal, immortal human soul, doesn't seem to matter much. No one went out looking for him. When our house gets burglarized, we lose some valuable things. We consider them valuable. And we talk about it and we grieve over it. But when it comes to lost souls, well, that's another story. But I believe that our God is a God of the lost. I can look back to my personal experience in you years, and you have to admit that God is a God of the lost. He saw me when I was lost, and he saved me by his grace. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed his life's blood, he died for the lost. And if anybody gets saved, it's the lost that gets saved, isn't it? Saved don't get saved. They don't need to be saved. They're already saved. But it's those people that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior who are the lost. They're the ones that we ought to be looking for, seeking those that are lost. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he has care and compassion for those who are lost. And we are the sheep of his flock. And if we go astray, he's going to come looking for us. And when he finds us, he will rejoice and bring us back to his fold. God is good. Nah, you're good. I appreciate your being here tonight. And it's about time for us to go home. So let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight to give you thanks for your goodness and grace toward us. And there have been times when each of us has gone astray. We have more or less abandoned you or tried to get away like Jonah. And we can't do it. We know that we can't, but we try. We're human beings. We've got that old sinful nature that wants to lead us astray. And sometimes we listen to the wrong voice. But we thank you that you care for us. We thank you for what you do for us. We thank you for our church and for our Bible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us into truth, opens our hearts and our minds that we might be receptive to your word and responsive to its teachings. And Father, we pray for the sick of our congregation, those who are physically unable to attend our services. We know there are those who would love to be here, but they just can't do it. We pray that your grace will be sufficient for them, and that you will reward them for the desires of their heart. As we leave this place, we will not be leaving you. We pray that you will give us a safe journey home, lead, guide, and direct us in our lives during this coming week. Help us to be witnesses to those who are lost and share with them your plan of salvation. We love you. We thank you for what you have done and are doing for us. Continue to use us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen.